Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Giovanni Marks, aka Subtitle, Part 2 episode. My favorite part of the interview was talking about the good old Amoeba Record days. We both worked there early 2000, and it was just good catching up on those stories. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Keep it craft.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the second time on the podcast, musician, producer, rapper, Giovanni Marks, aka Subtitle, Part 2. What's up, man. My man?
My dude, how you doing?
It's good catching up with you, man.
Likewise,
I had to get you back. You were on, when were you? You were one of my first guests, right?
Nah, hell no. You were already established as a motherfucker when I came on.
No, but it was year one.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you came out, you started strong.
Yeah,
You had a lot of heat, man. So, yeah, I mean, I was an early guest, but I mean, watching the progression otherwise, like, you were pretty heavy duty with what you're getting down.
And I owe a lot to you. I just want to get this on air, like, because we have some history, you know.
Yep.
We worked together practically.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
You were on the floor. We were there.
Yeah,
you were on the floor.
Yeah.
I was a cashier at Amoeba. Then they shifted me over to the warehouse.
To CD
Jewel Cave.
That's like, to me, that was like the.
So shout out to Amoeba, by the way.
Amoeba,
yeah.
You know, like,
they're relocating, by the way.
Yeah, they are. We can't wait to see you open back up. That to me was like the darling job. You have to walk no more. You could just be upstairs like listening to a Walkman, putting CDs in jewel cases. Like, God, what the fuck? You get paid for that?
Yeah.
Like, good grief. Like, that's like some THX 1138 shit, but not really, because it's not an all white room of bald headed people. It's just like a row of motherfuckers putting CDs in CD cases.
Oh, yeah.
Listening to a song.
But back then, I looked up to you, just two people. Like, personally, I looked up to you and Thavius.
Oh, hell yeah. Shout out Thavius
back. You guys were like wizards to me. Like,
thank you very
much. You guys were doing shit like where I was just trying to like figure out how do I put something out?
Right.
Like, how do I put this, like, any kind of music out? And it damn near every week, it seemed like you guys dropped a new fucking album. Like, it blew my mind. I'm like, okay, like, I would study you guys. I would go on the floor on my break and I'd go under your panel. I'd go, oh, Gino, this is on GSL. And then the week later, oh, this on Mush. Like, they're like, well, I mean, how are you guys doing this
But
shit?
We had our own labels, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you know, like, we were lucky enough. Like, Thavius is on Mush. I was on Gold Standard.
GSL.
Those were our real record deals at the time.
Yeah. Who was there, that rock group that was on there?
The Mars Volta?
They owned like half the label at the time.
It was a whole fucking production, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, we were kind of having like sibling rivalry in a way. Like, we were dropping, trying to see who's selling more records. We look at each other's numbers like, oh, you sold 150 this week? I sold 150 this week too.
I
mean, we're selling a gang of shit for being two young dudes working in a record store.
Oh, yeah.
But it was only about who's going to beat who today. You know,
what we're doing.
We should just be thankful to even be doing this, any of this shit.
Yeah.
You know? And we also put our own supplementary records, like a beat record. Thavius put out however many CDRs, CDRs.
Yeah.
We had a whole, and then other people hit us up for other side stuff, like a 7-inch here, a 10-inch there.
Oh, I mean, this is before Labway, Steven.
Well, this is like 2003, 2004. So
that's when I was working, 2003
is when we start like kind of actually working together like that.
Mm-hmm.
In 2003 is because of the Mars Volta. We're on tour with these dudes, and we're in
You guys went on tour. Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah,
in 2003, I went out, like, they got me on tour, and I brought Thavius as my back dude.
There's articles about that.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But like, we're in Spain or some shit sitting around, And like, there was a dude who was like the chief writer for Fader magazine at the time.
Yeah.
He was following us around on tour. Like following Mars Volta around on tour. And we, us as like, you know, as as a thing.
So you opened, did you open for Mars Volta?
Yeah. It was, okay. It was us, like, but me, like subtitle with Vegas and like my DJ, let's say. Then there was like this band Radio Vaga, which Omar produced.
And okay,
then was,
I remember them too vaguely. Yeah.
Because Adrian worked at Amoeba. And then it was Mars Volta.
That's right. Adrian. Which one was Adrian again?
She worked in Information all the time. She like
blonde hair, kind of dirty blonde hair. She was a musician.
She was the lead singer for that band.
I saw them perform. Yeah, we worked right across from her, dude.
Yeah. Fabius and I got her that job when we got home.
That's crazy. You know, I remember her, dude. I remember my red Celica.
Yeah.
I drove her. I used to drop her off sometimes.
Tastes amazing.
Yeah. Limoncello. Yeah, so damn. Lemon.
Limoncello LaCroix. That's a new flavor. Yeah, I'm not supposed to like this, but I do.
Little shout out to LaCroix.
Gentrification.
Lemon. It kind of tastes like a Starburst without the sugar, I guess.
Horizontal stained fences with neo-Gothic address numbers on them. That's how this shit tastes.
Yeah.
Like straight up.
Let me just give another plug since we're doing the plugs.
Yeah. Shout out.
The homie Mestizo just put out an album.
Shout out Mestizo. Shout out Controller 7.
Yeah, so, and then you mentioned Controller 7 is from the...
He's OG Anacon dude. Shout out Anacon. Yeah. He put out records with them.
Mestizo also said the artwork, I don't know who did the artwork, but did the MF Doom shit.
Let me see. Oh, Jason Yeagle? Yeah, he did food type stuff.
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like,
it looks like that. Yeah.
Well, rest in peace. I didn't mean to go touch upon a gray area.
You cannot talk about Doom. Yeah, Doom's a god now at this point. It's god Doom. So
what are you thinking about... God, it's been really depressing.
Shout out Controller 7, shout out Mestizo. Shout out the label that put this out. Shout out Buena Ventura Records who puts out other stuff.
This shit's banging.
Bang, I bet it is.
Yeah,
I can't wait to listen to what I got.
The lyrics are banging.
I mean, Mestizo's a beast.
He's like my brother.
They're beasts. Yeah. Both those dudes are beasts, so I can't wait to listen to what this is. So, hell yeah.
Sure. So, JJ, I'm letting you know I gave Gino the other
record.
You gave
me the other copy, bro.
I didn't tell him.
Sorry, not sorry.
JJ, I gave Gino because, you know. I wanted you to have, you know.
I'm looking at it over here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has a different cover than that, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So
now you've done some work with Anticon as well, right?
Not the label, but some of the artists on the label.
Yeah.
You know,
you've worked with a lot of, like.
I have. I've worked with a lot of
with
people.
With you? This is the word to describe you. I was trying to think of a word, but.
Prolific.
You're prolific. You're fucking prolific as fuck.
I'm very prolific.
Gino, even back then, because I studied your section at Amoeba, you would have. I don't know, even you had 30 plus, I don't, probably more.
Oh, no, I definitely got like
albums.
Probably 35, 40 records at this point. I'm damn near close to 50. Like, I mean, a couple real ones. Bam, you know, that's great. I mean, like, I can make 12 songs. I can put out 12 songs. Like, what, that's a record.
That's crazy.
Why not? I got a label. I can do it. This label, they got some. This label got some. Like, it's a party at that point.
You know what? I peep game even back then because obviously I didn't know about labels and how you guys were doing this shit. But I'm like, there are certain albums you put out where you would just have your own CDR, do your own album cover.
Right.
So I learned from that. And Thavius had that same shit. And a lot of the dudes I looked up to, and I'm like, all right, I guess I got to do it this way.
Go to
Kinko's, go to Staples, buy
jewel
cases
myself.
Yeah, I'll
do it. And then, go to Amatron.
Jimmy, remember,
of course.
Shout out to Jimmy Henderson who hired.
Shout out Jimmy Henderson.
And Karen. Jimmy gave me wholesale deals. Remember, we still boxed the jewel cases.
Yeah.
So I talked to Jimmy on the side, and I said,
wow, that's a very good look.
I said, hey, Jimmy, I want to put out shit, and I noticed. Because I was a cashier, I noticed people would buy jewel cases. So I go, well, how much is a box? And he goes, oh, well, we don't usually do that, but they sold me that in bulk.
That's great.
So I would like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I would take a box and then, you know.
The difference with me with that is I, at the point where I was the most like active on that level, I topped out at. Because, I mean, I would go buy CDRs. And the case the CDR came in was the jewel case. And I would open up and take out all the paper artwork and make my own stuff at Kinko's and put it in and use that.
Like Weekend Science Experience. Like,
yeah.
People
would sell blank CDRs like by the spindle.
And then blank jewel
cases too by the bundle or whatever. When I lived in Windsor Hills, which was when I lived with Tumex. Shout out Tumex.
Oh, shout out to Alex. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Tumex, yeah. I forgot you live with. I drove you there.
Too. Yeah, you did. So like Tumex and D-Ski, when we lived together, we were doing like we had the whole LA to the Bay thing. I operated out of there, so I was like a little grassroots distribution company.
Yeah, that was the spot.
Yeah. No, we all had like studios in our room, well, except for Alex. Like D-Ski and I had like our own little recording setups that were very advanced for the fucking time. And then in like the other dining room, we had the whole thing.
I remember the layout of that house.
There was a whole CD duplication little thing. We were in-house everything,
independent everything. Manufacturing, everything. Basically.
Because we had a printer that was really high quality, so we could print.
Yeah,
covers.
Yeah, yeah. A thermal. Pip. I bought that. Yeah, Pip game too. The thermal printer. Yeah.
And we had paper cutter. Mm-hmm. We had like we knew where to buy all this stuff wholesale. So we would get the we would buy like 100 of like let's say 500 like CDs and spindles, and like a bunch of us will put in on it. Like I'll buy 100. Stereo will buy 100. Like Tumex will buy 100.
Oh, shout out to Stereo.
Shout out to Stereo for sure. And bus driver. Like these dudes, you know, everybody will put in like, you know, so and so will buy, there'll be a 100 that no one will claim. So somebody will buy 10, three people buy 10, whatever. Yeah, yeah. You know?
So you guys did a collective kind of.
Yeah. Because we were all like a kind of a co-op, you know? Yeah, so that was our thing.
That's a good word. Yeah, yeah. It was a co-op, basically.
Yeah, you know, like straight up. And like you could buy stuff online from us, which is which is how we got around because like MySpace and all those things were moving.
Yeah. But then. I know for a fact that was during the MySpace days. Yeah.
But then we also have the revenue coming from like a brick and mortar store in our hometown, which was Amoeba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
John Lou was buying all the records.
Shout out John Lou,
motherfucker.
Oh, Sandor too. Sandor.
I mean, we did this last time. I'm going to be shouting everybody out. Yeah. But, like that was the thing though. So you know, John was at the buyer counter. He was the buyer for all that stuff. So he's getting all this stuff over the counter.
I didn't know him. He was mysterious to me because that fool never talked a lot. He was so quiet.
He's very aloof, man. Like,
that's a good word.
He's not trying to be your homie. No, at all. He's a very no nonsense dude.
He's from this other record store off. What was that record?
Aaron's. I worked there. Yeah. That's how I know him.
Oh, you work at Aaron's? I worked at Aaron's. That was right off in the neighborhood.
That was the spot. That was the real spot.
So describe to the viewers and listeners what Aaron's was.
It was Empire Records before Empire Records. Like everybody worked there. So like I worked there, whatever that means. John worked there. There was like studs who worked like, you know, upstairs behind the camera. But then the people on the floor, we were like the other, like, so Devendra Barnhart worked there when I worked there. Dean Spun from No Age worked there when I worked there. Shannon Sossaman worked there when I worked there.
A lot of musicians.
Yeah, Chris Hathaway from No Age. Chris Hathaway from Moving Units worked there when I worked. He was like the main jazz and rock buyer. He was like our dad, our uncle.
Oh yeah.
You know, Take One, like Sweat Son Clank, he worked there when I worked there. Like Pay Ray and like Sacred from like High Fidelity Records, they worked there.
I can
keep naming names like Diva Domfrey. Damn, that's she worked crazy. There. Like she's a 15-year-old.
It's so crazy like, how they shifted over to Amoeba as well.
Well, not they, I.
But you and John, right?
John, yeah, because like
oh, you got John the.
It's the other way around. Oh, if anything.
Okay.
Like, no, actually, like, okay, so Aaron's, the dude who owns Aaron's is a piece of shit. Fuck you, Jesse. I won't even go into all that shit.
Okay, that
store should still be open. Let's put it that way.
Right. It was a cool mom and pop. Authentic mom and pop record store.
Fuck the mom and fuck the pop, but it was that. okay. To be fucking real. Just be the motherfucking real. You know, straight up. Shout out Manny Aaron's. Yeah. Manny Aaron is the real one. Like that's the real one. But it was an Aaron's Records by the time I worked there.
Okay.
So, and there's a reason for that I'm not going to go into. But fuck everybody else that wasn't the people I named. No problem saying that. Anyway, I mean, like, if you worked on the floor, if you weren't, like, literally the owner or the owner's wife, you're all good. If you're one of those two people, you eat all the dicks. Eat the devil, suck the devil's dick, die in the street, all that shit. Die over and over again, 1,000 deaths. Fuck you. Anyway, they were... John was like the lead dude there.
Buyer.
Yeah, he's almost like a GM kind of dude. There was a dude, Tony, who was like the real GM dude. He was the shit. And he hired everybody. He's like an older punk rock dude.
Then
John was like the on the floor dude we all fucked with. And like, you know, we looked up to him. And like the owner was like a piece. He was such a mean dude to John, such a piece of shit. He's so mean. Right. So when Amoeba came around, they were hiring the best and brightest out of it. They headhunted all the fucking best employees from every job.
Karen and Jimmy.
Yeah, they did that.
This is before Chris Carmina, right?
Yes.
Carmina came later.
Yeah, later. Way later. God bless you, Chris. Like, yeah. But
shout out to Carmina.
There's like OG Amoeba assembling the staff. Yeah, they went and got people from Rhino.
Yeah, people from
fucking like who worked the tower at some point.
Oh, damn. I didn't know that. So they were out recruiting and shit.
They called me. Karen called me and told
Karen
me she
called you.
And told me she wanted me to work there.
So for those of you who don't know, Karen was there was four owners.
Yeah, she's one of the four.
She was one of the four owners.
So
yeah.
I went. It was a big deal. I went to Aaron's. I pulled all the OG dudes aside. We're all in the corner. I'm telling these fools. They hit me for the shit. What should I do? They're like, you need to go. Like I got like I got permission.
So
from
this
all...
is 2001, 2000. Yeah.
So I mean, it was like a big deal. And like even Thavius was mad when I came over there because he was already working there. He worked there. He got hired within the first 6 months. I waited for them to be open for eight months before I went there.
I didn't want to go.
I wanted to stay at Aaron's.
Dude, I remember because I was a cashier. I remember seeing you walk in and out, and I was trying to figure out who you were. I remember those days.
Yeah, I would go shop there all the time.
Yeah,
people knew
like,
me.
Oh, who's that guy?
I was weird as fuck back then, so people kind of didn't know what to make of me.
Yeah.
But I was there all the time. Once they figured out who I was and what I was doing, then they went for me.
Yep.
And so it was like that's when it became this whole like, will you go? Yeah, I'm going. Blah blah blah. You know, and I went.
Yeah, just and, because of just your knowledge alone, they
and then I was actually making records and putting them out
obviously,
and shit too.
And selling a lot of records.
And it was a thing where Thavius is like, man, like he's like when you came over there was like fucking Snoop going to fucking No Limit. Like it was like a big deal.
Yeah, I was tripping out. I mean, I saw Beck there, I saw
I saw everybody. Everybody.
Slug. I didn't know who Slug was back then.
It's like the record store employees. That was like the Hollywood thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it's like they were getting the dudes that were going to bring in all those dudes. I personal shopped for fucking everybody at that point.
Oh, you did?
After I quit working there, I personal shopped for DJ Quick. I happened to be there. Quick came in.
Oh, really?
Karen's like, you want to be his personal shopper? I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll go do it. You know, like, and like I'm walking Quick around the store grabbing shit. I personal shopped for Dilla for sure. Like, for real? Yeah. Like, got a shot at McDonald and Jaws record for the first time.
I had no idea. I was
like,
up in the warehouse.
Nah, dude, on the floor, I did damage. That's why I got to keep my job. Like, I was, like, selling records, like, really fucking with shit.
I was tripping. Dre was...
Oh, when he broke up, out, when he broke
yeah,
out
in the warehouse.
Chris Matthews.
Yeah, that broke up for that G for a tip? Yeah, but I remember seeing Dre. They let him into the warehouse.
No, but you know that story? So, look. So they let Dre, I remember that I was there that day. I went there that later.
Yeah.
I got there at 11.
I was working in there, too. Yeah.
So they let him over there. He goes to Chris Matthews' station. Shout out Chris Matthews to the vinyl buyer.
Okay, that's who he... Okay, I remember
Yeah, Chris Matthews just lets him use the station. And he sits there and just starts digging through whatever. Like, they're bringing him warehouse records to dig through.
The records, shit that never touched the warehouse.
Yeah, the shit that didn't touch the floor.
That was the door, you know, that one door going into the CD? I remember opening it and seeing Dre by himself, no one around.
Right, no.
And that, I was tripping.
That was the instructions. Leave him alone, let him dig. So he's up there just chilling, bumping records. He bought a gang of records that day, from what I understand.
Sure, yeah.
He tipped Chris Matthews $1,000 to let him do that. And he came there more than once and did that every time. That was the inside thing. And Dre had an assistant or whatever downstairs paying for it, whatever. And then there was a thing, he had a warehouse of records he was trying to get rid of, and Amoeba might have did that private sale on the low. I don't know. I can't confirm.
Oh, right. That's crazy. I don't doubt it. That's crazy.
No, but he brought things. Yeah, I got like a warehouse of records I'm trying to get rid of. Dre was a part of that narrative, you know. Mugs too. I remember Mugs would come and dig evidence. That fool was trying forever to go upstairs until he finally let him upstairs. He's like, hell yeah, now I'm on. Now he had to dig downstairs, and he wanted to go upstairs and dig in the warehouse on some real.
Let's explain to the listeners and viewers. So the warehouse was it was for employees only.
Well, it wasn't like that. Okay, the warehouse. A better way to say it. The warehouse had the same floor space as the bottom floor.
The mezzanine.
The bottom floor.
Oh, right.
But it was all records that were getting staged to go downstairs.
So you didn't know what any of this shit was. Okay, yeah, that's a better way.
So it's like no one, like, there's the firest record you want is up there chilling, waiting to be priced.
Before it's priced and put into the system.
Like people hadn't picked it yet. No employee saw it there yet and got it. This is stuff, this is the gold that you want. It didn't go to the rare place yet. It didn't go to eBay. It's like Virgin Records. It's like literal, not Virgin Records, Virgin Records.
Yeah.
Like records that haven't even, like, they, collections that were bought that haven't been processed yet.
Yeah.
You know? Like, so all these producers, the whole idea, like, I mean, that was the funny thing. I remember, like, Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossum came in one day, or Rossdale, whatever the fuck his last name is. Like, they came and dug upstairs. That was, like, a big thing for, like, the famous a celebrity musician to be able to dig like unfettered off the floor. Yeah. Like that's when you knew you were balling. Your VIP. That's the VIP section, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
So like Dilla, for instance, didn't even give a flying fuck about that. He walked in and grabbed records and walked the fuck out. He wasn't asking for shit. He's the one of the records he wanted to get. You know, he didn't care about that shit. Evidence was trying to be a hoe over that shit, and he eventually got that shit. But he deserves it. He's Evidence.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like there are certain dudes like really deserve, like Dr. Dre. And he paid too. He tipped the record buyer $1,000 for letting him sit at his desk and dig for records. So he didn't just go up there and dig. He availed them of the services and then paid as he should.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like there's levels to it. You know, there's levels to it.
It's crazy.
But
man.
Like if you're an employee, you're fucking digging upstairs. You have to be like Thavius, he got a cushy ass job upstairs pricing records, this motherfucker. I hate him for that. Shout out DJ Serge though.
I remember Serge.
Yeah, because I mean, Thavius had no record store. Thavius to have that job, he had no record store experience. I came from a record store doing the most. I wanted that job. But I was on the floor running in circles and shit and doing tricks, selling records.
Yeah.
He's upstairs just chilling, pricing shit, sitting in a chair,
getting shit brought
to him, getting the cherry pick shit, getting the firest of shit, and then getting the extra money that comes with that shit and all that claim that comes with that shit too. You know, so it's a thing, but it's like we're not the same, you know. Like, you know, I'm making money for the store.
I have to apologize. I'm gonna just make an apology to Karen and Jimmy. The one night,
me too.
On my shift, I still, you know, I ate a pot cookie.
Oh, so you got high like that? No.
Well, I ate and I didn't realize what I was intaking. But during my break, and I thought I was free. I was like, oh, I'm in the clear. I'm in the warehouse. All I gotta do is eat this and just jewel case, but. Man, I felt like I was on LSD, fool. Like, I was tripped. Like, I ate half the goddamn cookie.
Oh, my God.
So, I was up there. You know, I was later.
And this is back in the day when there wasn't, like ordained dosage. Like, this is one.
No, this was, I didn't know how much. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a cookie that made some blood.
So, I ate it, but then it hit me later at nighttime.
Right.
So, I thought I was in clear. And then there's only, like, me and two other fools working in there. I'm like, oh, I'm good.
Right, right.
But then it hit me. And towards the end, they called. Remember the loud speaker?
Yeah.
So they called me down to cashier, fool.
Oh, shit.
So I was up there. I was up there, and I was jewel casing. You know, because back then, I don't know if you were around then, but we had our own little CD. We could listen to music.
I was fucking high listening to jazz records.
Yeah,
and
you're
all in your own little
world.
Yeah,
I was in my own world. And they go, Stephen Lee, please report to Register 3. Stephen Lee. And I think it was Karen. And I got paranoid, fool. And I got paranoid. I was hiding from them.
You hid?
Yeah. I was in the warehouse.
Oh, you hid from
hiding
people.
In the warehouse. They kept calling me. They kept calling me. So I guess one of them, either Carmina, one of them came looking for me. They go, Steve, we need you on register. Dude, so-and-so's on break. We need help.
Right.
We're getting flooded.
Right.
So they were not only busy, it was towards the end of my shit, you know, the closing.
Yeah.
And I was a zombie.
You're
dude.
Blasted.
I was blasted. So I was fucking. I just remember like walking down there. It was like The Shining. It was like,
goddamn, dude.
And so I was. So now I was ordered to operate, dude, transactions.
Yeah, and account money.
I couldn't do it. So I was there. You know how? Remember? Back then it was computer screens.
Yeah, yeah.
They had codes like 5 is for vinyl.
Right.
Number 006 is
and
for tapes.
I was never a cashier,
but
by the
you
way.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's
but I know about it.
Yeah. So
it's foolproof shit.
In a sober mind state, I could do that shit.
Yeah, it's very,
I was trained as a cashier, dude.
High as hell.
Yeah, but I was literally so fucking blasted full. Like I was looking at the codes. I couldn't type them in. I was literally like, I don't know how
God
the
damn,
fuck
dude.
I even got through that. So I apologize to Jimmy and Karen.
I didn't do that. I did a lot of dumb shit. There.
I did dumb shit. Like, you know, the checkout, the law. You know,
oh,
how you,
that's not going to that. That's not going to that. That's not going
but
to that.
I still have some Pride DVDs. I'm going to return them. I'm saying.
Yo, 15 years later, I don't have any of that shit anymore. But I left with a gang of shit.
Okay.
So that's we'll do that.
Okay. But I in the closet, I do have some DVDs. I have some
sick.
Yeah,
but, you should.
So explain to them as an employee. Sick. Let's just do this. Explain to them back then as man, an employee.
Man, this motherfucker started me incriminating my motherfucking self, man. We tried to go to the Pinta and shit.
But all right, I'm not innocent as well.
All right, I'll tell this shit. Yeah. We got to get off of Amoeba, by the way. Yeah, yeah. There's more to talk about. Oh, okay. I know there is. My fucking So basically, because Amoeba is like the best place on earth. One of the things it was, it's also a depository of knowledge. It was a library, so they would allow the employees. They would give every employee a logbook after you beat the probationary period, and they would allow you to check out materials for a week or two.
Use materials, DVDs,
vinyl, anything used,
anything used, basically. Anything used, yeah.
And so I mean, like we're availing ourselves of this stuff left and right, but you know what ends up happening. You become negligent, and you might just get like library books. You know, you get some library books. Excuse me, Mr. LaCroix is doing his job. Yeah. You get some library books. You don't necessarily return back to the library. You owe them money. Excuse me, but you don't work for the library. We all work for Amoeba, so our logbooks would look sick as hell. And like we would own stuff and whatever. And you get the chance to buy stuff off the log and this and that too to kind of clear your records. You know, but. Like, let's say you have, like, an immediate, like, shift manager that is your friend and doesn't care what you owe already. They'll just check out whatever for you. So you might check out two things, three things every day. And now you got 35 things out that you owe, you know. Yeah. And these things are all worth money. This is all stock that we would sell. This is product, you know. This isn't just things. This is mercantile inventory. So we're essentially stealing from the company when we don't bring that back. You know, that's the thing to say. Let's just be fucking real.
Yeah.
You know, like whether they prepare for shrinkage or not, you know, which is like the retail term for when like this inventory is just going to end up missing. So, you know, like, no, but it's like we're stealing from them when we don't return that because they can't sell that and make that money back. Yeah. And they loan it to us and we didn't give it back.
Yeah.
So like when I quit, they let me quit. My log book was still.
Oh, you didn't get fired?
Nah.
Oh, I got fired.
They gave me a choice. They're like, you want to?
No, they fired me.
They're like, you can quit or get fired. I quit because
Jimmy brought me into the office.
No, Jimmy brought me in too. Oh. That was the whole fucking thing. Because I was being a dick. Yeah, I was like, I was a month out from my lap, like going on my first solo tour. Yeah. I was over it, bro. I was fucking right. I wasn't gonna be Thavius upstairs. Like I'm getting like Rick Sanchez and them is getting mad at me every because I'm talking to all these customers. I'm fucking famous at this point. I'm on cover magazines. But I'm working retail on the floor, walking around. It's like you work at the gas station, but you were driving a fucking stock car.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Like so, I mean, they're utilizing the fact that I'm a famous person in their community that they know of to sell material, but they're not recognizing there's a cognitive dissonance. You don't know I'm a famous musician, and these records are selling off the shelf because I'm a famous musician, not because they're at Amoeba,
for sure.
You know, so you're not respecting that. So me doing what I was doing, I was over that. I was 100% over that. Like I'm like literally like doing interviews at work. You know,
right.
Like A&Rs are calling me at work to give me record deals at work.
Right.
It's like I gotta walk around all for 8 hours a goddamn day, stocking and selling CDs. Thavius is upstairs fucking jacking off and sleeping and shit. You know, he's in the same fucking position. But it's like it's night and fucking day. I'm getting dissed for this shit. But it's like I can't control being famous in a fucking record store. That's the most famous record store on fucking earth. While I'm touring every six goddamn months, I can't control what the fuck the outcome of that is for a person who's never done that before. But you guys can control what you do with me.
Right.
So as a young dude who's like, this is all new to, because I'm coming from like this underground humble thing. We're making CDRs. Now we got like records out and shit.
Oh,
like, the last day I'm working, they had a cake for me with Batman on the cake. That's the last day I saw Dilla. He was in there being led around by his mom. His mom's walking him around. It's him, his mom, and Wolf. And like Sonny from GSL, brought my records. Like so, I got my first box of the double record.
Yeah.
And all this shit's happening on like my last day of work.
Wow.
You know, dude. I'm giving Dilla the record. I'm walking. I'm like on some other shit at this point. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, they gave me the option to quit or be fired. Once I said I quit, then we did the things you do when you quit. They blessed me like that. They blessed me. Like, Jimmy blessed me. Like, they didn't have to do that at all. They were like, if we didn't like you, we would have fired you. They told me that. You know? So, I mean, they blessed me, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's like, I made them a gang of money, but they were making, they had million-dollar days at this fucking place. It didn't matter what I made them.
You know,
I made you 5 G's that day. You made another fucking 995,000 somewhere else. Like, what the fuck is that? You know, like, it didn't matter. You know, but it's like they loved me as a person, and like they saw me grow up in that place and do the thing and this and that.
So
they wanted to help out as much as possible. So I mean, I was in my life for that.
That's crazy.
You know,
that's
like they gave, but I mean, I was an asshole there. Fuck that. Let's be fucking real. I'm not gonna pretend. You know, but I made. I mean, I made them money too.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, my records made them money.
Oh, not
my,
only
my
that, the clients you bring
the clients
in,
I brought
yeah.
in, people coming in looking to see subtitle on the fucking floor working, and I'm shooting them records and shit. Like, I mean, I had that shit look like Fat Beats in that corner. Like, I made
right,
them money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
they owed me something a little bit more than they paid me, but not
right,
much.
Right, right,
not
right.
much at all.
Yeah.
That option they gave me is what they owed me.
Right, 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 right.
You know, so like, I'm lucky me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Let's get in. Yeah, God, we were on Amoeba for a half hour.
Yeah, God, that's crazy right. shit. Anyway.
I want to get into your music and all your projects.
Yeah, man.
And,
yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
So
please,
like,
please do.
So, so you were on. So what happened between the time of like GSL to Labways to like. All these other labels you were on to like right now, like. All right,
so
now.
I mean, let's do a quick chronological thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I get on GSL 2001 or two. It takes a couple of years to kind of let that gel and figure it out. I drop an EP in 2003, which is when I went on my first European tour at the Mars Volta. I drop a full length in 2005.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that's kind of put me on my way. I Labways also we had got a deal with Bus Driver's label they had through Mush. So, like, that wasn't even supposed to really happen. It's just GSL was supposed to put the record out, and they didn't. Like, we were in Spain reading Fader, and then Mars Volta said, like, the next record they're putting out is a Labways record. Like, they said that. We were like, okay, I guess we're Labways doing this record
so
now.
They said it first?
Yeah, we weren't even going to do that shit. We didn't even like each other that much
so
at that
point.
So they
put it out there in the universe. And
yeah,
then we
had to do it.
So you had to come to Thavius and go, I guess
no,
we're
No, we were both in Spain. We're both reading this shit. We're both like, fine, I guess we got to do this shit now.
Yeah,
they're punking us.
Yeah.
So, like, that was.
It's kind of like a call out. Like
it was.
Yeah.
They're like, we're doing that record next. So we're like, oh, we're doing that now, you know? And we're reading this in print in another country on tour. Like, they already said that, you know?
Yeah.
So, even when Cedric and them told me I was going on tour with them, were you going to bring Thavius? I'm like, yeah. Like, they already knew that.
Oh, so you had to tell Thavius, like, we're a group now, we got to make this record?
Yeah, like, we're doing this shit now, you know? Like, that's our shit now, you know?
Jeez.
So, and he was down because we were doing the work, but we just didn't know it was going to be anything because we're used to this shit where nothing means nothing
right.
We didn't know, like, this is what's popping and it's our shit. But, like, GSL didn't end up putting out the record because they were going through a bunch of shit, you know? Like, they didn't know if they want to put out my record.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the Labways thing wasn't even a fucking priority, you know?
Yeah.
We were operating, and momentum-wise, like, we're doing shit right now in our world that you are not in, so we're going to do something.
For sure, man.
We had a bus driver, because, I mean, I see bus driver every day at my fucking house, and he didn't want to fuck with the record at first. He's trying to put out the Shapeshifters record because they had their own little bus.
Was that adopted by, which one was that, Planet of the Shapes? Or?
Nah, it was, from whatever.
Oh, it was
with
one
love.
Of the later ones.
One of the later
ones.
Yeah. So, he's trying to get that, like, because he knows, like, that he's like touring with Tumex all the time. He's seen what Shapeshifters is doing, even though that shit is beyond not relevant in this day and age.
Yeah,
he's seeing it then. Like,
I'm still a fan, dude. I'm good for you. Yeah.
I mean, shout out Existerio. Shout out all the active dudes in that
Circus
group
as well.
Shout out AWOL.
Yeah.
I mean, like Circus, Missing Person, Picture. You know, shout out Life Rexall. Shout out the dudes who are, like, doing stuff for our culture to this day.
Not the dudes
who just happen to be in a fucking group and, like, kicked some raps and ran around on a goddamn stage full of fools and just fucking vanished.
These dudes love the art, dude.
They love them to do it, but then a lot of dudes wanted to be famous. And when they saw they're going to be famous, they started doing bullshit. That's the best way I'll put it. Shout out Chris Chambers, because you're a fucking real one. Anyway, fucking, like, Bus wanted to put up the Shapeshifters record. He didn't get it, so then he, like, settled for our record.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a diss in this day and age, but back then it's like anything goes.
Yeah, why not?
Our record came out in January 16th or some shit, the same day as the Game's first record, which is a suicide time.
I remember that. The flyers even, though.
Yeah.
I remember the cover.
So fucking, and like Augustine Coffee, I love you very much. That was the dude I worked with on that show. My mentor as far as, like, you know, art goes. The thing that people don't really realize nowadays, records come out anytime. Back then, like, you didn't put records out before April. You didn't tour or put records out after November. Our record came out in January. That was a suicide time. You put the record out to do whatever then. Because, I mean, it's right after Christmas, so there's no money being spent. It's the beginning of the year.
There's no tours going.
You're not going on tour. Like, there's no one to amp the record up. They don't give a fuck about you in January. You're not doing nothing. It's cold. Nothing's going on. You know, you're at the literal end. You're at the beginning of the fucking year. There's nothing going on. So they drop our record then. You know, and we still did our fucking thing, you know, like, which was not a lot, but it was enough to solidify us as a group that existed.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
whether
yeah.
even if, like, their whole thing was like, that was a stopgap until Bus Driver's record was supposed to come out, because he had a whole record about to come out that was about to be the shit.
Yeah, you know.
He needed a bunch of amp shit. Like, yeah, I got a label. Here's some of my artists. I got my shit coming. Whatever. Yeah, yeah. So that was like some like drop it shit. Whatever.
Who are some of the other artists on his label? Do you remember?
There weren't any then.
Okay.
Tumex, I think, dropped something maybe, but I mean, there weren't any really then. Nowadays, it's entirely different. You put out Jametta Rose's record, Jay Quickly. He's like Temporary Whatever is like a label. It's the shit. I'm thankful that we got involved.
Yeah.
But back then, that was a thing because he was an artist that's popping who should have an imprint because he put out a bunch of shit. So he wasn't fit to be a label owner then. He was too busy being an amazing avant-garde artist. But he still had to go do the job, so he did the job to the best of his ability. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know? But, with the Labway shit, it was all just reactionary shit. Like, it was like, you know, we're just trying to do shit.
Yeah.
It wasn't like fucking, like, we were the belle of the ball, and, like, we were just going through deals on our desks and shit. Nah, I mean, we were lucky that everything, all the stars aligned when they did.
Oh, for sure. So what happened after the, because I want people to get
So check it out. That was 2005. So, Daddy Kev hits me up at Amoeba one day. And says he wants to work with me on some shit because he's doing this new label, Alpha Pup.
Yeah.
And so we end up linking up and doing some stuff. I leave GSL to go over there, which wasn't the shit, but I did. You know, I mean, it wasn't shit because, I mean, like, I've been on there for 4 or 5 years at that point. You know, even if I wasn't the dude over there, I was a dude over there. You know, I loved the label anyway. They gave me life, you know? So, I mean, to leave that, it was to, like, progress because I felt like it was kind of like they I didn't really matter over there part as far as what went on over there. You know, like I wasn't a part of the big picture, although I probably shouldn't have been. I should have been in hindsight.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so Alpha Pup's a new thing. It's full of people who I respect as far as a rapper goes. You know, I get to finally kind of join this fucking group of individuals. You know, like there's all these dudes doing this digital stuff. It's all people like Abstract Rude, AWOL. Like all these legend dudes.
But
you know,
Mestizo was down too.
Yeah. Makina Muerte was up. That was after my time. Kev gave me a deal there because he wanted me to be his A&R.
Oh, that's what's up. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to go put out another record somewhere. I wasn't thinking about like running labels and shit. I mean, I was down. I ended up doing all that shit. But it was a thing where if he would have just gave me a job as an A&R, I would just been an A&R and just worked, you know. But I'm still trying to be subtitled. I'm on stage.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
He's not going to all these shows and tours seeing what this music is. So the inherent value of it isn't even being hit to him because he's looking at analytics and aren't fucking lining up.
Yeah.
He's like, you're not making all this goddamn money, so I don't know where this noise is. But, yo, I want to fuck with you. So if the gateway to fuck with you is put out this record, here's the record, you know.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So, yeah, I mean, it was in hindsight. Yeah, it was great. I mean, it wasn't really my record like that because I didn't produce anything on it.
Which record was it?
Terrain to Rome.
Oh, that's right.
You know, which like Madlib had beats on there. I got in legal trouble over all that shit because we're trying to.
Madlib did some production on that.
Yeah, he had two beats on there.
Oh, wow.
A bunch of people did. Daedalus had some shit on there, all kind of fools. But it was more or less a thing of just. It was still like. It was a bit too low key as far as admin goes for like what it was on the other end. Like. I'm getting all this kind of features and shit because I got a momentum that's cracking.
They're
like a new independent underground hip hop label.
So they're not
thinking that everybody's over here balling out. They're not really thinking that you got to put 40 G's on a record to make a rock, which is what I did at GSL when that happened. You know,
we had a budget.
Yeah, we had a cool, and that's not a lot of money, but that was a lot of money for you and me. That's a gang of money.
Yeah,
you know, like a gang of money, and I did a lot.
Yeah,
like, people were like meeting me halfway. Like I was like, they're like, oh yeah, you're paying for that. Okay, we'll charge you half of that and give you double of that because you're paying. That's you know, because they wanted to see it happen. So I got a lot for a little, but then at the same time. Going somewhere else where they're just trying to get their shit established as a business. It's not even about project to project. You know, just trying to get projects to accumulate.
And they did stuff like digitally too, right?
That was the brand of bread and butter. They were like the label things because Kev was keeping it real as a motherfucking person who had a label. But I mean, really,
cut the cost low, just put it out digitally.
Yeah, but that was a new thing.
That was just popping up, and hip hop
is a physically fetishized thing. It's very tactile. Like you have records right there.
Yeah,
I got the Mestizo record. Like that's what speaks. That's the love language. So, like, no matter what the music is, if it ain't something you can go buy in a store where it's all displayed and all that shit prominently, it only partially exists. Like Schrodinger's cat, it's alive and dead at the same time.
So you can't
really fuck with it the way you want to. People like the fan who wants to collect it can't collect it the way they want to.
Right. It's like a collectible thing. People want to hold it.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, you know, like not wanting to really like, and Kev was ahead of his time then. He was like, he was really banking on like the digital zone. Yeah, like nowadays, yeah, yeah. It's all good. We're doing all kind of fucking digital
for
shit.
Sure,
but back
for
then,
sure.
It was still early in the game. So, like by going from being on a label where I just put out double colored vinyl and all this other shit to a place that doesn't even want to make records, I alienated half my fucking fan base there, if not three quarters of it, because these are people who are collecting fucking physical things.
So that fucked
me up very bad.
Oh, during that time period?
Yeah. Because I just came from a label where I'm dropping singles. Like, we're doing all the traditional shit. Kev is on this shit that you're on today, where you can put out.
So he was ahead of
He was way.
Curve.
He was ahead, but he was too far ahead. He was on the technical side of administration. He's not looking at it like the customary side of the music industry. Hip hop at that.
He's looking at, in
the future, which is not long from, they're gonna have a black box. You have all your music up in there and everything. You ain't gonna even want to have a collection. Like he was already speaking about that shit back in 2006.
Crazy, dude.
You know, he was already on that shit. But it's like you're talking about a industry or a genre that fetishizes over the past. People are still wearing shell-toed Adidas and buying vinyl, although that's an obsolete motherfucking format, although it's not. But it is, if you're talking about technical aptitude and shit, it is at the time on paper, whatever. But we know better now. But at the time in 2006, you're talking about some shit that's like so new that people can't even fucking understand it. Versus like this shit that's been tried and true where we're in stores like Amoeba where they have $1 million days.
Yeah.
They make $1 million a day selling
that's
physical
crazy.
Material.
I don't doubt it because I was ringing up people.
It's not about doubting. Like those were I don't know if you know that. That was a famous thing. Like I remember I was there for the first $1 million day where the first time they made $1 million in one day.
I remember
the second time, then the third time, then the fifth time. The first time they made it, it blew their mind to make $1 million in a day because they never did that before. I mean, and I never worked that. You made $1 million in a goddamn day selling motherfucking, what the fuck? That sounds crazy today.
I was just on robotic mode. I would ring them up.
So was everybody in the fucking
robot.
Store.
I'm just filling
fools baskets full of shit. We just doing the motherfucking Lord's work at that point. But they made $1 million that day.
Doing
that shit. We all had insurance. We all had all the best of everything. Like we were taking well care because they had hella money.
We had it good.
So do you okay, Venn diagram style. We're in a world where one store, one out of three, in one city, it can make $1 million.
Oh, we're not even including the Berkeley fucking.
None of that shit.
Just the Hollywood store.
Yeah, not even Tower down the street selling records. Nobody else in the area is selling records.
Yeah,
we're just talking about
that.
One store making $1 million in a day for selling fucking physical materials, physical format. How the fuck are you going to say it's not relevant then? Or that's going to be on the way out?
Really relevant.
It's beyond relevant. It's the thing. It's a status quo.
Yeah.
So we were so far in the future, there's no road to walk with that. So you're losing money. You're losing opportunities. All this other shit because you're just not showing up the way people are used to seeing you show up. People are used to people showing up.
Yeah.
For the most part. You know, and I think like that, I mean, luckily, I mean, Kev had a bunch of ideas. You know, like Low End Theory was one. Alpha Pup, the label was one. Alpha Pup, the aggregator was another. Like he's a fucking genius of geniuses. Him being an engineer when he's bored is another one. You know, like he was never like him doing consultation for fucking Sony or some shit is another one. Like, he's never going to be a dude without some shit going on. He just wasn't looking at it in a long term for the artist.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like the artist branded themselves as an artist. So he's looking at the brand he's building.
Money.
And like it's money, but it's also like the thing he's building.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not even just the money. It's like the brand and the idea of the brand and like the resource that the utility it provides. So he's thinking of a long term because this is technology that grows every year according to Moore's Law or whatever the fuck it is, you know? So he's thinking about technology. He's not thinking about me selling fucking vinyl, him having to pay 5 G's for a bunch of shit that may or may not sell according to his calculations.
Everything,
there's no room for the gamble.
You know,
me as a dude, like, I didn't have a manager or no shit like that, so I didn't have no way to.
Even throughout the whole time?
Never once.
I thought maybe you and Thave had one.
Nah, I did all my own business. He did too.
That's crazy.
You know, which is to our detriment.
Yeah.
But, like, if I did have a manager, my manager probably told me not to do that because it wouldn't be a smart long-term business decision because he's based on a pattern recognition, me dropping shit like this over a GSL and it doing what it did over there. The only thing that was a problem, GSL's had bad admin because it was very unorganized because Sonny wasn't used to making money.
And all of a sudden
he looked up and Omar bought into half a label. Now they're making hella paper. Everybody's doing shit. He's still thinking in the mindset of like this dude doing this failing underground rock label.
Right, right.
You know, like, so he's signing groups, not thinking about who he should sign. He's putting out shit, not thinking about what he should. He's just blowing money.
Like,
because he has, you know, he has a fucking license to print money right now because the Mars Volta is balling. You know, like.
Are they still doing shit?
Nah. No. But they're still active, though. They're around, but they're not doing shit,
okay,
no.
Okay, okay.
Like, it's like he had a bunch of shit, like the Locust. They had just got signed to Epitaph, so their catalog selling. Chick to Chick was on fucking Warp. You know, like, I'm coming out as a rap dude. He had never put a rap record out at all, but he fucking lucked out because I'm out there doing my goddamn thing at the time. You know, so he's, in his mind, he's not thinking of, like, the gambles he has to take to go to the next level. He's already just, he's just doing the shit.
You know what I'm saying?
He's just doing it. He's like, okay, what do I like? He's like, okay, I'm seeing what all, like, the label's getting away from him at this point. Like, it's good. It's like people reckon they know that Omar owns half.
So they're calling
it Omar's label, even though he started it. He's the reason why it is what it is. All of us are just doing our fucking thing. It ain't really about what GSL is anymore. It's about we represent GSL. You know, so he started signing more groups, like, where he's like, I'm gonna put that out. But he's signing the wrong shit.
It was good.
It was good shit. But these people weren't. He's going against the grain because he wants to prove how hardcore he is still.
Yeah.
And these people aren't really fit to be doing shit to where none of them exist anymore. You know. So he just basically.
Were they like indie rock bands?
Well, there's like one indie rapper. I won't name his name because if I sit there and say something about him and say the bad way, that's disrespectful.
You don't have to. Yeah.
Like an indie rock band. I won't say their name for the same exact reason. You know. Like, they did other shit later, but like the records they did over there and the contrails of all, what the work we all put in sank that shit.
Right, you know.
We all put in the work to make money for that shit, be it a little bit or a lot.
Yeah.
They came in, they're just like, oh, we're on GSL now, it's on. And they weren't even able to do the shit that we do every day
to make it
pop. They weren't getting that same relevancy, you know?
So
when that, like, but he's paying to put these records out. He's spending this money, these budgets, he's spending this shit.
Yeah, he's coming out of pocket for that.
Right. You know, and he's fair, so he's like spending the same money he can spend on all this shit.
So what would be your average cost putting out an independent record? Like,
shit, depends on who you are. If you're a Def Jux, you might pay 100 G's. You know,
right,
if you're a GSL, you pay 40 G's, and that's damn near like 200 G's to you. But you get back the in added shit. If you're Mush, like same type of shit, 40, 50 G's. Like, at one point, before people stop making records or making money off of records like that, you're arbitrarily paying tens of thousands of dollars.
Okay.
Like, automatic. You're just paying, like, 15 for you, 5 for you. The advances are thousands of dollars to the artist.
Yeah.
You know, like.
You got to pay the advance back if you don't make the sales.
Right. I mean, well, no. You just never get paid. They just own your record.
They just put out your shit and.
Yeah, until they make the money back.
Oh.
So you hope you're making, I mean, later on, I'm not going to say who and how or whatever. There were deals out there where you're signing off your masters for perpetuity.
Well, so, what does that entail?
For all of time.
Forever?
Yeah. You just make the ambient money.
Oh, Jesus.
But Sonny, because he's a real motherfucker, told me the game behind. He said, look, legally it's like this. The record you turn into me, that's the master. Now, if you went and fucking remixed the levels, anything you do to alter that, that's a new master. I don't own that.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can go sell this record again. We can go to court all goddamn day over it.
But you can
reissue this shit whenever you want in a different form. That's why you see so many labels put out new masters of records and shit like that.
Oh, so they could just...
Yeah, because that's a new version.
Clean slate there.
Right. Yeah, you know, like, a band will go do that shit. A label will go do that shit. A label has signed a new band because they don't own that new recorded work as a new project, technically.
Even though it's the same fucking song.
But that's why motherfuckers try to get you for publishing and all this other shit attached to that. Let me get the rights of the lyrics of the motherfucking song. Like all the
How does that work with these smaller labels?
Well, most don't do that. They'll try to sign you for publishing and try to get it too, but most don't really do that cuz they can't administrate that shit. Unless you're Stone Sour or somebody or Ninja Tune, where you make a whole publishing company to the side and you offer a publishing
deal. A separate entity.
You offer a publishing deal parallel to the regular record deal, and then the artist takes that or not. You know, it's on them.
Damn, that's crazy, man. That's crazy. I have to, didn't mean to switch topics, but I have to give you, you can talk all day about that stuff. I gotta give a Koreatown Audio shout out.
Yes.
I learned about him actually through you. I was peeping out your Instagram.
But you had him on here though.
Yeah, I did. Well, it's because I had to thank you because I'm like, I didn't know who he was at first, but then you, when he was putting out his first project, I kept looking on his page. I'm like, oh, Gino's vouching for him.
I should
look into him. And I like his shit.
No, it was good. I mean, he's the fucking man.
Oh, yo, yeah, for sure.
Now he's a goddamn man. Yeah, you know, but I was thankful to be able to work with him on all of his rap projects. You know, like I'm supposed to do
the Strictly Cassette. Like,
yeah, you know about that.
Because I hit him up because I'm finishing up a project and I was just hollering at him as far as advice or whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as like, hey, what are the best mediums? And he mentioned Strictly Cassette. He said he might be putting out some of your projects in the future.
That's the idea. So I have to shout them out.
That's yeah.
The, shout out Mark. What's happening
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
That's the idea. I don't like, I'm not going to be coy about it. Cause I mean, it's like the thing that I know with like, when you talk about like stuff in like a format, like interview shit,
most people
like really, they big up shit. They don't really talk about the shit that's not out there. Cause they could like get put, left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case with this particular project. So I feel a bit more free to talk about it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Even though we're still trying to figure out when it's going to come
out.
So, I mean, it's an instrumental thing. It's called Point of Hiatus.
There you go. And you're doing all the, what are you going to make all your stuff on?
I already did it all.
It's done?
Yeah, it's already turned
in. Oh, that's what's up. Yeah. So, okay.
So I did it in my studio.
How many tracks?
Think like 10 to 12.
Okay, go ahead.
Something like that.
Keep
10 to 12.
Keep plugging it.
I did in a studio in Long Beach. I got a bunch of equipment over there. Mm-hmm. I record over there. They came over. They did a photo shoot over there. We kind of walked around town. Excuse me, LaCroix. Shout out LaCroix with all the burping and stuff. And we walked around town, like took the little photo shoot and everything. They wanted to kind of get an idea of what the project was about because they like to have a story for every project. Like they did an instrumental version of a Taz Arnold record. Shout out Taz, shout out Sarah, shout out Gallery Department, all that shit. Even though Taz doesn't own Gallery Department, it's all just Supercell and shout out Trent Truce, but it's all family. Shout out Brooke DeLow, all family. Anyway. So they came through, did a photo shoot for that. Because, I mean, they just dropped this Taz record. And Taz did a record called Rad America back in the day, like 8 years ago or something. So he just dropped the instrumental version of that, like a deluxe, amazing packaging version, you know. So I guess besides scheduling, whatever the holdup is with me, they're trying to, like, kind of source out some ill packaging. Like, the initial mock-ups I got was, like, the cover's like a pager.
Oh, that's
like,
dope.
It looks like a Motorola pager. Exactly. And like the font, like Giovanni Marx is all like Motorola font for the thing.
Oh, that's dope.
And the top, there was a sticker like with the numeric code at Point of Hiatus and like that same kind of code. You're looking at the tape like it's a pager kind of thing.
I'm getting a visual of that.
It was navy blue with the gold, right? It was super fucking sick. But I mean, they're like, we're going to do iller shit, so don't even worry about that. But we're still going to be a pager, but it's going to be something else. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, cool. You know, I'm just, and it's more just waiting until, because they put out, they're active, they put out a bunch of stuff, they put out blank, like these, like theme blank cassettes.
I like how they're doing their
shit. Their idea is sick.
I like their instrumental, their aesthetic
is on point. I'm very, very, that's why it's like, I don't want to jinx, I hope I didn't jinx it by talking about it right now.
No, I don't think you are. No,
I hope not. But that I'm very happy to be able to drop.
No,
because
he mentioned it to me that he was
right.
Gonna do
so
that.
There,
so
yeah, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
He's like, yeah, I'm gonna put out Gino's.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm juiced because that's like the student becoming the teacher at this point.
Yeah.
And like that's an honor because I mean, yeah, he's been like that fucking Little Dominique's Nosebleed record is probably the best rap record of last year. Anybody says. You know, like definitely the best.
I like his shit, dude. Like I was peeping out like that fucking Ninja Turtles fucking beat. Yeah. That shit's fucking hard.
I mean, he's great. He does all this shit, and like he's very like humble isn't the word because I mean that you're going to for humble.
He's grounded though.
He's very grounded.
He's grounded. He's
a bad
grounded.
Dude.
He
is who he is. You know.
Yeah.
Like you. Yeah. He's a perfect individual. Yeah. You know his queen's beloved.
Their daughter's beloved.
He's living the life I want to see a person live. I'm very happy that he's living that life.
Yeah. No. So we're getting out. This
we're going deep.
This flew by. Give me a pound for just you being here. The hour flew by. Which I kind of predicted.
Yeah.
Because we were shooting the shit for a while.
Yeah.
I want to let the viewers and listeners know how the fuck they could best support Giovanni Marx at this moment in time.
Okay,
as far as how they could get your music
we're going on various tangents and stuff. So let me just bring up the like 2020, 2021 speed. Like I did a bunch of stuff last year. I got a label called Get Crev Labs, GCL, because it's a play on GSL, because Gold Standard Laptop, where I appropriated the logo and Sonny gave me the blessing. Like that's the thing.
What's up.
You know, so I'm just trying to keep on like a little sliver of the tradition in my own little way. So yeah, I put out a bunch of stuff. I reissued a bunch of digital stuff last year. Put out this EP called Fixed Mind. As it's like there's multi beats, but there's a rap song. I did a rap song about gentrification on there. There's a rap song, Self Jupiter, from Freestyle Fellowship song. Shout out to him.
That's what's up. Shout out to all of them. That's my favorite
rapper in the world. So to get him over one of my beats is an honor, you know. I reissued like the instrumental record I did with Hit and Run. Shout out Hit and Run. Double Tech Jeep Music. So that came out digitally. These are all available like on Bandcamp and also the streaming various formats.
All right, let's plug the Bandcamp right now.
Yeah, no, yeah. So
Just keep going, but don't forget that.
No.
Yeah.
Like the Bandcamp page is getcrevlabs, getcrevlabs.bandcamp.com.
I love Bandcamp.
And there's, yeah, God bless them.
God bless. They're one of the only ones where you could get
the only one
directly linked to fucking fan to artists, right, where you actually get something.
Yeah, and the artist is taken care of on a timely basis. We're not paid honey for our little money. It's the fairest thing. Like, God bless y'all.
Yeah.
I did another record, so I sat down for like a year, or actually like 3 or 4 years, and worked on this record off and on, and just really like when quarantine hit, just kind of like locked
it
in.
Yeah.
And dropped it on my birthday, which was October 2nd, a crazy ass idea because everybody dropped the record on October 2nd.
Yeah.
So that record's called Fall All Over / Dead October, Fall All Over, and that's on GCL. And it was like a 10 song, 11 song rap record.
You get so much fucking work, though.
Yeah, no, dude. I mean,
I'm just realizing you just plugged 5 out records within like 5 seconds. And I'm like, how the fuck is he getting all this shit done?
No, keep going.
So, prolific, everyone.
Yeah, no, I mean,
this guy's prolific.
Essentially,
I gotta hit the notebook tonight. I gotta try to catch up.
I didn't even get to the movie shit yet. The movie shit's another shit.
All right, keep going.
I mean, the thing with the Fall All Over, these are records that, like, I work on a bunch of stuff at one time. You know, and like I'll go.
Oh, that's how you do it?
Yeah, I don't just.
So one night you'll get a whole EP.
Not like that.
Okay, right.
No, I mean, I used to do it when I was young, but I mean, now I'm way more like into like
concise and work.
Yeah. So it's like I'll
methodic
have, like,
about
yeah,
your shit. Yeah.
This is one song that could be for this record. That's a scratch song. That's for this EP. That's
so you just make a bunch of shit, and then at the end you're like, okay, this is for this.
Right.
This okay.
Right. You know?
I want to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so And like for the like the Fall All Over record, there I probably made like 25 songs, you know. But then I started like hacking and shit. Okay, like I'm gonna put these songs over here. Like this that's what became like the Fixed Mind EP. I took the regentrification song, my gentrification.
Put that
over there. I took the Self Jupiter song off. Put that over there.
Okay.
Some other beats I was working on that would have been for that over there. Because I always
fucking
make beats.
Smart, man. You know, fucking smart.
But it's like, I can hear the theme for it. Like, I know, like, the Fall All Over record, I'm cutting songs. I know what songs are cut off. I'm like, okay, now I'm hearing the record. Like, you know. I hear these 10 songs. This is the 10 songs. I don't give a fuck about the other 12.
Yeah.
This is the record, you know. And then you start mixing it and adding extra shit, whatever you need to do, like, you know, like, to get it going. Yeah,
right.
Like, I got, like, Hemlock Ernst, a.k.a. Sam Herring from Future Islands.
Yeah.
He's rapping on a song. Shout out Sam. I got Dominique, rapping on a song. I got Meg Abusive, OG homie, rapping on a song. Those are my features for that record because it was very like clear for what I wanted to do with that. The other stuff are reissues. I reissued also a Black Jack Parsons record, which I didn't talk about. It came out on Hellfire Club back in the day.
Yeah.
I reissued that this year too, or this last year
also.
That was No Can Do. That's still active, you know? And I had the video on there that Koreatown Adi directed back then,
VHS
tape. So it was a whole full circle thing. So, but really, like the newest things I dropped last year were an EP and an album, like which should be, you know. And so, with the album, there's a lot of work I did with it. I wrote like a syllabus kind of thing with a bunch of like PDF books that I put in, and you read in a certain order so you can kind of understand the scholastic side of the record. I have a Substack page that I operate for the album. Every month, a Substack article comes out for every song. So it breaks down like the creative method of the song, like production list, like the equipment list, the whole process. Yeah, you know.
Okay, I got that. That's fucking genius.
You can listen to the record wherever. Like, go listen on Spotify or whatever. But then if you go on Bandcamp and buy it, you get all this extra supplemental material, and then you get the subscription, all that kind of stuff.
Let's stay on that tangent here. So, Bandcamp, is it under subtitle or Giovanni Marks?
Giovanni Marks.
Okay, let's spell that out. My
real name, GIOVANNIMARKS. And I told you earlier, the label, which is Get Crav Labs.
So the best way, folks, to support my man here, go to Bandcamp right now.
Just
this week, today, tomorrow. Giovanni Marks.
Yeah, that's my artist name. That's
buy
my real name.
It up.
Go to GitCraft Labs. We have a bunch of stuff over there. Like a bunch of records. Like,
now, do you have physical merch on there as well?
Not right now because everything is sold out.
Yeah, but, okay. I mean, so download the songs.
Mm-hmm. But you
buy the whole fucking album.
Yeah, I mean, like, the whole point nowadays, if you're going on Bandcamp, you're literally going to support the artist you want to support. You're paying that
love
money.
Bandcamp, man.
Like you're I mean, and this is a step before this new shit that I'm about to be on. I'll explain in a second.
Okay.
which is like it kind of blew my mind, kind of thing.
Yeah,
So, like the thing, and I the new shit is so new, I can't really articulate it as
that's
much as I
want.
Just I'll say very vague stuff. But the Bandcamp thing, that's the best way. To have a peer-to-peer idea where the supporter gets to support the content creator.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, you get to be immersed in the world of the content creator. They can send you, like, annual emails or whatever. You get to buy a you're a part of their whole narrative now. You know, and the money comes in a day or so. So it's not like you're waiting 6 months to track down a percent of a cent.
For
a stream or whatever it is. You know, it's like
that's why I love Bandcamp.
No, it's great.
Because that Spotify shit's like who's streaming your shit or.
Well,
what?
I mean, that's the whole thing with Spotify. You can look out, you can get those analytics, but I mean, the most important thing to understand as an independent artist is like those things like Spotify. No one's mentioning Pandora because it's not relevant,
right?
You know, like. The thing with Spotify and all these other things like that, they're all radio stations. They're all, you know, and like you never like, unless you pay for radio, like you like payola, which is real. You can go Google if you want to. You don't get paid from radio. Like you have to invest in the radio to get paid back in publishing. Cause
you just made real. That's what it is. That's the way around it.
It's a glorified advertisement.
Oh God.
It's an advertisement.
That's
so
their way around not paying the fucking artist what they owed.
You throw all your music. Here's how you do it. If you want to be for real and you're actually doing something this day and age that people want to buy, you like to start your way off to get into the game. You post your shit on Bandcamp because you get the quickest turnaround as far as like money goes. You get like the real like transparent analytics available to you as an artist. You get like the ingrained fan base that already comes that buys the things that Bandcamp
directly
has to provide
from you.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then you go to like DistroKid or one of these other kind of aggregators.
Yeah, I'm on DistroKid.
Yeah, same here with like this last thing. But you use that just to like the service your record to all these different services.
Platforms,
platforms. If and if they buy it, cool.
If they don't,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Like they can listen to it. It's promo.
Yeah.
It's like paying $500 back and they to buy 1,000 color stickers that stick around the goddamn city. Like, you know, you're just trying to get your name out there.
Yeah.
You know, not everything has to have a dollar sign on it attached to a receipt that has your name on it. Like, you're just trying to get your name out there.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. So, I mean, people are getting it twisted because they think that the independent thing means all money goes to me. Like all roads lead to Damascus.
So you're saying that half of it has to at least have promotion.
It's promo.
Yeah.
It's all going back to people ideally giving you money for your work where they can pay.
Yeah.
Now, if they want to pay on iTunes or some shit like that, good. If they want to pay on Bleep or Beatport or whatever, good, cool, whatever.
DistroKid allows that.
Yeah.
Because they disperse all that shit to those platforms.
And there's other people like Orchard, Alpha Pup, whatever, who are way more like, you know, like meticulous in regards to like getting those royalties, so you may even they go harder in getting you placed in other things like Twitch and shit like that. You may not even be privy to or have access to.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential there. But
yeah,
that's for part three of
right. I'm not even doing that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to do less versus more.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But the idea is like there's things out there for you as an introductory artist. You just have to understand your worth and be realistic with it and understand
how
you can make your money. You know, there's people out there making all, we're sitting in Hollywood right the fuck now. People every to the left and right of me and all these damn buildings up and down the street are making money off of content. You just have to understand what the admin means.
Yeah.
You're not going to get money off of Daniel Ek or whatever the fuck his name is. Like you're not getting money from Spotify like that. You know, like cents on like percentage of cents on a dollar is not what you want to bank
unless
your life
unless you're
around.
Like major like on that
like Drake or somebody.
Yeah,
but even then, he's getting paid from radio
or Eminem or someone.
Yeah, you're getting paid from radio. You're getting enough spins on radio to where you're getting checks from that shit.
Yeah,
you know, like you're getting
a whole different.
Yeah, it's a whole different
game.
Level.
Yeah,
like we're
trying
to we're over here trying to like fight over like some money you get like $600, $1,000 or whatever.
Exactly.
These fools are like really getting real transactions popping. Like there's a dude who's sitting there, a fat ass dude with dreads and shit, braids, and in some old ass radio fucking like studio that's a broadcast studio in fucking Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a damn H3 a Hummer outside on some spinning wheels, and he's waiting for the Urban Fool to walk in and put a big ass bag of money in front of him so he could play that motherfucker's song every hour, like a commercial.
That's crazy.
That's how it
that
works.
That exists.
That exists. That's how it works. Straight up.
Yeah, that's,
you know?
I mean, the gap is just enormous.
Yeah,
as
yeah,
far
I
as...
mean, and I don't make this kind of music. I rap backwards on songs. Yeah. I'm the same as the, I mean, I've been doing the opposite of this shit the entire fucking time, so I'm not designed to make this money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so any money I make is for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm missing out on anything.
Let's,
like,
can we plug, I want to really push your Instagram as well.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, and a website as well.
Yeah, I don't really have a website right now. I'm in the middle of building something.
But what's your Insta or anything?
Everything is under my real name. All the social media there is to be provided by the Lord on earth is under Giovanni_Marks.
So that's Giovanni_Marks. So there's an underscore there.
Yes.
On your Instagram.
Yeah. And Twitter too, and all, yeah, those are under, that's an underscore, yeah, and like,
it flew by, didn't it? I mean, I just want to hip to, even before the podcast started, we got 30 minutes,
right?
Just catch it up.
Yeah, I mean,
this could have been a 3 hour, easy,
oh, easy style. I mean, and the thing is, like, it's not. It's like we're actually in front of each other.
Yeah,
we're talking.
For sure.
You know who I
am
as a dude.
I had to catch up.
You're not so blown out of mind where you don't want to talk to me about me. You don't. You know,
no,
like,
no,
you know,
no.
Like, no.
I
mean, like,
catch up. I haven't seen you in fucking years.
Yeah, well, not years since the last time we did the podcast. That's like almost 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, because I had like, I remember that bag of, that big ass bag of Starburst. Yeah. All those fucking like those enamel pins you gave me, which I still have to eat more pizza
I got all that shit.
Like, that was like I walked out of a podcast with gifts. That's how generous like Steve is. He gave me shit to come here. Motherfuckers send him shit because they want him to have these things and maybe talk about them. So he presented them to me.
No, but with you, like, this platform, this particular one, you're a perfect fit because I want to interview cats that I think are due for that kind of exposure.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
And you out of everybody, in my opinion, because I still talked to you about Mestizo. I said,
right.
Hey, yeah, Gino, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I told him, hey, you know, I told Mestizo about K-Town Oddity,
right,
and
right.
He started peeping his shit.
Right.
But, like,
is
I want to.
Philly?
Yeah, yeah, he's in Philly.
Yeah,
he's
for
in Philadelphia.
Sure.
I might actually pay him a visit soon. Actually,
I would like
to get
do
away.
The same.
Yeah.
The fuck up out of here. Yeah.
But yeah. So I wanna and then after we're done here, if you could give me some possible future guests you think would be a good fit, you know,
because
I know you know a fucking grip of musicians.
Yeah,
I don't even know about
that
might be a good fit that deserve maybe a plug or exposure
for
their shit to get.
I got you. In fact, I'll plug you in a more. Yeah, we'll talk about
Mic. So, dude, that flew. So Rent's not used to this running over.
Sorry.
So, I know we made an hour.
Hell yeah.
Too easy.
Let me talk about this.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Shout out to me, Michael Kunica. I hope I pronounced your last name right. Cunecka.
Yeah.
He is the director of this movie I'm in called I'll Be Around that you can watch now. It's streaming on Amazon Prime.
Okay. It's called
I'll Be Around.
I'll Be Around, and that's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's on
Amazon. So, folks, go and watch that as well.
I mean, it's fucking sick as fuck. Like, I mean, it's like the they're going to do another version. Okay, so how it's a real movie. It's like 2 hours plus. You know, it's like real. It's all based around like a day at a music festival. And
that's a dope concept. Ooh, that's a great concept.
It's sick. And there's all kind of features in there, like cameos. Like, I'm in it. Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr. is in it.
Oh,
all
really?
There's a majority of people in it are in bands and shit like that, but they also act.
Damn, dude, I love
There's, like,
Dinosaur
actor
Jr.
actors
yeah.
there. Same here, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's dope. Like,
I forgot you're a Sonic Youth. We didn't even get into
that's another conversation.
Yeah.
But it's good, though. It's a good one.
Yeah.
So the movie is tight because it's like that kind of vibe. It's like Dazed and Confused or some shit like that, you know?
Say the name of the movie one more time.
I'll Be Around.
I'll Be Around
on
Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Movie. Yeah. You know, check it out. I mean, I don't think you have to rent it anymore. I think you see it. But it's like there's it's long. They shot a bunch of stuff, so they cut a bunch of stuff out. So if you initially, so I have mad stuff in there that's not in the movie you're gonna, the version you see right now.
You do music in there as well?
No.
Okay,
no,
that would have been dope too.
No. I'm like this. I play this dude named Ozzo, who's just this crazy ass dude just doing crazy.
Crazy ass flavorful. Yeah.
It's funny though. It's funny.
I just saw mid '90s. I really enjoyed. I enjoyed it.
Dell
had a cameo as well.
Jonah Hill shot Illegal Civ. Those Illegal Civilization kids are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You kids are.
I've seen them fools at Stoner like skating for real.
Yeah. No, they're.
Ripping.
No, they're all those kids are real.
Ripping.
They're real. Yeah, they're really
ripping.
This video is ill.
Yeah,
Alex Midler killed this video.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
All those fools they arrived.
I got emotional because it really it was a walk down memory lane.
Well, memory lane. Mid '90s was definitely that shit.
Yeah, for me as well. Like, even though I was in Arizona, that was my life.
Right.
Like, going to Sub Society, local skate shop, watching skate videos in there, going to fucking, the Wedge skate park.
Right.
You know, this is before the skate park was even created.
It's just,
We could talk forever. We didn't even get into that.
Shit. But I mean, shout out everybody involved with that because all you guys are real skaters and stuff. Jonah Hill really does skate.
Yeah.
He's kicking at, what was that spot? Not Atomic Garage. Was it Atomic Garage? It was like the spot in Westwood that made the cease and desist deck. So he would be like a little regular over there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, it was a good movie, man.
Yeah, it was.
Really good movie, man. I really enjoyed it, man. I teared up. It hit me. Yeah.
Shout out mid-90s. Yeah. Shout out everything. Everything is good.
Yeah. I was just glad they put Dell in there.
The hieroglyphics of skateboarding for the '90s.
Oh,
you kind of have to do that.
Perfect. I
discovered Hyro through skateboarding.
Me too. The fucking
Plan B videos, questionable.
All that. Yeah, they put Hyro
all
over
that. Tony Ferguson's part. Yeah, all that shit. Like, yeah, I mean, all that. Like, yeah, man. I remember like being a little kid going to the skate shop in Pasadena.
I need to get at least one of those guys on here. I was talking to Plea A-plus on Instagram. He agreed, but then I just lost contact with him.
Don't you know
Opio?
Yeah, I think he stays in Highland Park still. I can ask him.
If you can. I mean, I just need one of those guys. If this doesn't happen,
don't be mad. We're not trying to sell wolf tickets over here.
I would just love to,
Opie is Opie.
Yeah, I would at least have. I need one of those guys. At least one.
It'd be.
I would love Dell. I mean, Dell's a...
I can't speak on anybody else from High Road. I don't kick it like that, but Opio's a man
dope.
About town. Opio's a great...
So he was in Highland? He was around...
Yeah.
He moved down here.
Yeah, he's been out for a couple years.
Okay, then maybe that's the most realistic for...
Yeah, I mean, it's Opio. Opio from Souls of Mischief. You're not fucking losing.
I mean, come on.
That's one of the best rappers alive. You're not losing.
One of the best albums ever made.
Yeah, I mean, and he keeps making great music, so you're not losing if Opio came through. I mean, he's on like... He did record for Leaving Records and she's like relevant in this world now.
One of them.
And even just about Souls of Mischief.
I would love Casual. I love any of those.
I mean,
souls.
Casual around. It'd be tight. But I mean, Opio lives in LA.
Okay, that makes
mind.
Sense.
So, yeah.
That's like a 10-minute Uber ride.
Yeah, that seems like that can happen.
Oh, shit. I'll pay for his Uber. Whatever he wants.
Whatever
takes.
Yeah. We'll talk about that
too.
Hey,
man. It was great catching up to you, man.
Fuck yeah,
you're
man.
Always welcome.
I mean,
always.
Thank you. I can't wait to come back. I mean, you got anything you want to ask? Like, that you didn't talk about? We talked about all kinds of shit to the left and the right.
I mean, Amoeba alone could have been.
Like an episode.
I just want cats to know where they can find you and the best way to support you. That's
thank
all.
Thank you. I mean, that means the world to me. Thank
I wanted
you.
To get that out.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, it's like right
Bandcamp,
now.
Bandcamp Giovanni Marks.
Yeah.
Go there.
Right.
All please. Right. So with this show, there is a website, stevieweebyshow.com. Just know that because of COVID, the quarantine, the orders may be delayed a little bit, okay? But it's still up and running. The best way to support this platform, patreon.com/stevieweeby. Go there today, folks. I do a special audio diary log just for my patrons every Monday. Stevie Weeby Bandcamp, obviously going back to Bandcamp is the best way to support me. And I just finished up a project... inspired by I feel stir crazy, Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor. I made a whole concept album. So just bear with me. I'm still trying to mix it down and figure things out there. I do have a P.O. box. If you want to send any of the packages or mail, send your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. Again, shout out to Controller 7 and Mestizo here. Support that as well.
Yep.
Support all the homies' art. You know what I mean? So, there you go.
Like
hey, man, give me a pound.
Pound.
Thanks for coming through, man. Love you too, brother.